Hey, it's Thursday, and it is rumor and innuendo, and we got a lot of business to talk, including Mercedes Moné making her AEW debut. But I'm Dominic D'Angelo, and I am here, former WWE writer Robert Karpeles, WWE creative underscore ish. Robert, happy Thursday to you.
You nailed it right out of the gate. I'm going to apologize right off the bat, guys. I was literally just sprinting a little over a mile. I was at my son's school for an event. And as soon as I'm like, guys, I have a heart out. I got to leave by 11:45. I got to be back here for noon. I go to leave. All the gates locked.
What?
School, there's security. I got to wait for somebody to come with a badge to let me out. I'm like, you don't understand, guys. We got rumor and innuendo. We got big business to talk about. So I look like Brother Love right now. I am red and schwitzy, but I'm here and I'm excited to talk about, I'm guessing, big business last night, Tom. I haven't looked at the run sheet.
That's A-okay. Yes. We're talking big business. We're talking some of The Rock's comments. We're going to talk a little Will Ospreay and some Triple H. And also a little bit of The Undertaker as well to close out the show. But yeah,
before we get to that, I want to say some plugs to some of the fine folks joining us here in the chat. Christopher Santos says, good morning, y'all. Let's talk some CEO. Chant it with me. CEO, 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 which seems like a much easier job than being the CFO of AEW, making sense of some of their financial decisions. Anthony Santos says, C3PO, C3PO, C3PO. She wasn't that robotic. That's mean.
That's
a little bit robotic.
Mean.
And Lou4237 says, welcome to the rumor and innuendo chat. One of our members is a cannibal. Trying to guess which one. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Guys, you know the way to my heart is obscure Simpsons references. So Lou, I'm here for you. I'm here for everybody here today joining us for rumor and innuendo. Dom, what do we got?
Good. Yes, we have to talk some Mercedes Moné. She was there for everybody on AEW Dynamite, AEW Big Business in Boston. And sure enough, they let it off with Mercedes Moné, and she cut a very heartfelt promo and kind of just a state of the address, basically, with herself and what she's done for the business and what she plans to do for AEW. Robert, what did you think of the promo and presentation of Mercedes Moné to kick off the show?
So we talked about it yesterday. We kind of said Mercedes, not the greatest promo that you're going to get, or at least the person on the mic. I think the presentation, the crowd immediately embracing the CEO nickname. They were chanting it pretty vociferously,
yes,
which I thought was nice. Her promo was fine. I think part of the problem with Mercedes is similar to the problem I have with Seth Rollins. When they're earnest and sincere, it doesn't feel earnest and sincere. It comes across a little bit disingenuous, a little bit like, I'm here for you guys. When really we're like, no, you're here because they backed up a Brinks truck and they made it insanely worth your while. In the same way, she's like, I've been watching the show. Can't wait to mix it up with all the women in the back. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you can wait to mix it up with Abaddon. I don't think that was at the top of your dream list. She talked about her accomplishments, which naturally is going to make you think of what she did in WWE. She talks about leading a women's revolution. She talks about main eventing a pay-per-view. You know she wanted to say main eventing a WrestleMania, but she can't. And it makes you realize she's accomplished so much in the WWE, and there's a hope, will she do it here? She then teed up, I've got an issue with Willow Nightingale. And part of my, and this is me with AEW all the time, and I know not everybody agrees with it. If you do disagree with me, get your own damn show. But I dislike when they reference things that happened in other companies that everybody may not have seen. So Mercedes and Willow had a match. I believe it was at a New Japan show, or it was under the Stardom banner or something through that. Most people not really familiar with that. I would say the majority of the casual audience probably not familiar with it. A decent amount of the AEW audience might not have been super familiar with what had happened there. So when you're referencing something that a lot of people haven't seen, you immediately step back and there's disconnect. And you're like, wait, I don't know what she's talking about. Did I miss something? As a kid that grew up reading comic books, it makes me think of, I was an X-Men kid.
You're right.
Big excited for X-Men 97 coming out on Disney Plus soon. That's a free ad to the kids.
I'm pumped, Robert.
But if you read an X-Men comic book and they reference something, there'd be a little like star, and it would say what issue you can go back to. And sometimes they would reference things in like the X-Men annual. Nobody read the X-Men annual. And that's what this felt like. This felt like, hey, remember that New Japan show that nobody has really mentioned on AEW TV or talked about? That's why I have an issue with Willow Nightingale. And when you had a, what I would say, a fairly substantial casual audience tuning in that were Sasha Banks fans, Mercedes Moné fans, they might not have been super familiar with what that was. I get you wanted to set up what happened later. It just struck me as a little odd. Dom, what'd you think of her big debut?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, I thought leading it off with the show was an interesting choice. And her just taking the stage basically by herself with no interference, no confrontation, nothing like that, and kind of stating who she was, what she was about, what her intentions were, kind of made her feel like big time. It did make me kind of think later on, though, like CEO, the CEO chants and stuff. And I thought that was very effective. And the crowd was really into that. Boston was really into that. And I think that's something that can very much catch on at every AEW show that they do, as long as they present her right. But it made me think about like just the CEO designation. I was like, you know what would have been maybe good, a good presentation of her would her debuting against the Young Bucks and making a statement or something like that, where it's like you're presenting her on a stage of that. Maybe she's not necessarily a CEO, but she's maybe got a little bit of pull in some sort of fashion, kind of combat back to that. And then you have her implemented into the product in that kind of way. And it just kind of made me think of maybe an alternate, right? Maybe alternate route to take. And I don't know, like just maybe pairing her with Okada, something like that was something I started thinking about too, just as I was watching the show. But I thought it was fine. It'll be, again, well, like we talked about yesterday, though, Robert, like a lot of those women division is not set up to her bar. Like they have not built that division up in the past months when they had plenty of time to do it. And even to your point about the New Japan Strong thing, where no reference to that, you know, they could have showed some images. They could have showed some stuff after she made that mention later on or something to that effect, but nothing was there.
I think I don't want to see her go anywhere near the Young Bucks. Quite frankly, I don't want anybody near the Young Bucks. I like that she tried to go out there and plant a flag and make the women's division seem important. What struck me as extremely odd was when she said, like, in your main event tonight. And I was like, wait, what's the main event tonight? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be Riho and Willow Nightingale. I feel like if Mercedes was not there, this would have absolutely been your 9:30 main event for about 7 minutes. But we're trying to put a spotlight and an emphasis on the women's division. Easy for me to say. And then you saw what transpired in the main event. And Willow and Riho, I thought, had a very good match that didn't deserve to be in a main event slot just because it wasn't a main event storyline. It just felt like we can just put you at the top of the card, and that counts as a main event. When I see somebody main event a show, I want to see them earn it. And the finish, this idea that Julia Hart and Sky Blue attacked and then Mercedes ran in for the save, like 2 hours earlier, she's talking about she's got unfinished business with Willow. I feel like we're setting up a big match, and now we're setting up this tag situation. And for about a half a second, Dom, I thought maybe she was going to turn heel. Mm-hmm. And Excalibur tried to say that, but she already hit Sky Blue before he can get it out there. It was like that Bobby Heenan Bash of the Beach 96. Yeah. It's Hogan, but whose side is he on? It's almost what that felt like, but we'll get, you know, hope we'll ease her in. She's going to try to elevate Julia Hart, elevate Sky Blue. Hopefully those matches are really good. I wasn't overly sold. I'm not overly excited to see Mercedes beyond what a cool entrance. And it makes me think back to what Vince had said to Chris Jericho when he debuted. And it was like, all right, earn that entrance. And I want to see Mercedes earn that entrance and work with people. And the other thing that struck me as odd is they announced this as the main event, Dom. And I was pretty sure there was a world title match on this show.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Robert, it opened the show for the matches. It was Wardlow versus Mojo. Went, I don't know, about 10 minutes maybe or something, with picture-in-picture commercial break in a world title match, mind you. But Wardlow loses straight up to Samoa Joe. seemed like they were really building Wardlow in some form or fashion, like with that promo he cut several weeks ago. And then they inserted him right into this equation, and he almost just seemed like a stopgap for Samoa Joe in this bout there, Robert.
I think this was, I'm hoping, I know nothing, we're on rumor and innuendo here, and we're just speculating. I'm hoping this means that Wardlow has his contract is up with AEW, and we'll be seeing him in NXT soon. That is what this felt like to me. Mm-hmm. That awkward, goofy Adam Cole video package where he's sitting there reading a book. I get it. It's story time with Adam Cole. It looked like an Old Spice ad.
And it looked like Tales of Ribaldry with John Lovitz and SNL.
Thank you. Yes, that was very good. Look, I'll be honest. I watched Dynamite this morning on DVR, so I went to go fast forward, and I started fast forwarding through it thinking it was a commercial until I realized, wait, that scrawny kid in the chair is Adam Cole. Let me rewind and listen to this incredibly awkward promo. And then no one from Undisputed Kingdom were out there. This was the second match on the card. And while I thought Wardlow looked good, you beat him clean. Right. So he cuts this killer promo, this I'm going to war. I'm going to go out there and show everybody the untapped potential that I have. And he loses clean to Samoa Joe. I don't mind a challenger losing clean to a champion since you're building to something else. This felt really decisive.
It did. It felt, and like the thought process was like, hey, Wardlow could be the one to unseat Samoa Joe at some point in time. So I think we were both a little surprised when he was announced for this big business match. Oh, they're throwing him in there already. And so I don't know. It's just, you know, it was a great match. Wardlow and Joe did a great job. And I love Samoa Joe and the presentation he made. And that promo that he cut before that match was really, really good too, Samoa Joe. But I don't know, Robert. It left me scratching my head for sure. You know,
it struck me as odd. It really felt like one of those, someone's leaving the company, so he's going to put over the champion strong. And we immediately shifted to Swerve and Joe. And kudos to the Boston crowd. They knew the score. They knew that Samoa Joe was the babyface in there with Wardlow. And as soon as Swerve Strickland came out there, you immediately flipped the switch and Samoa Joe is the heel. So thank you to the fans in Boston for playing along and really helping move this story forward in a way that Tony himself probably couldn't.
Yeah, I agree. We also had the Elite taking on Eddie Kingston, a returning Pac, and Penta.
You don't need to say returning Pac. That's always implied. Anytime Pac is on TV, it's the returning Pac, and then he's gone for 8 months.
But Robert, again, you have a big name in Okada, and here he is in the triple tag match, and kind of just seems like part of it. That's it, you know?
Yeah, the bloom was off the rose pretty quick for a guy they're paying like $4 million a year. I get the idea of throwing him in the mix, making him a heel. You want to have him pin Eddie Kingston to sell a singles match, but he very much felt like one of the guys on the roster. And I get the new narrative and focus of AEW, which I don't disagree with, is we have the most stacked roster. Everybody needs to prove themselves. We saw that with the Kyle O'Reilly promo commentary, mm-hmm. even during the six-man. We're like, this is an all-star match. All six of these guys are, to some degree, big stars. It was a fun match, but Okada really just felt like a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, they did the little segment backstage with Alex Marvez and whatever. And, you know, Okada had a few statements there during like telling Marvez to wish him a happy birthday and all that stuff. But, you know, yeah, it just felt like, okay, why are you not presenting like somebody like you're already setting Mercedes Moné up speculatively for a tag team match. And then you have Okada already in a triple tag match on your primary show. It just seemed very, I don't know, very strange and execute great match. But again, it's just like everybody gets lost in the shuffle.
It was a fine match. But again, if the Young Bucks are the EVPs, if they are the people in charge, why are they allowing themselves to be booked in a six-man tag match on free television?
yeah. Make yourself elected.
Step in. It should have been, we're the EVPs. Okada is money. You have to pay to see him, Dom. You have to pay. You have to order AEW Destiny and Dynasty.
Dang it, Robert.
Target.
Dang it.
Yes. I swear, guys, this isn't like Billy and the CW. I really have a mental block when it comes to the name of this incredibly stupid show, which for all I know, we maybe talk of Billy and the CW later. I haven't even looked at it, but
on the list,
contrast always. The presentation of Okada with Will Ospreay.
My
two
goodness.
Insanely good matches and a promo that, while it lacked a little bit of polish, you felt the authenticity when that guy talked, Dom.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it blew my socks off, honestly, because I've never seen Ospreay talk like that, to be honest. And like, so that's kind of what I was waiting for. That's what I wanted to see initially with Ospreay showing up and like the build to him having matches and AEW Revolution and all that stuff. I wanted to see that. And here we got it. Here we got it. And it felt, he feels like a star. Like, he feels like you could immediately insert him, you know, while Kenny Omega's on the shelf, into that position and then build more around him. And the fights that he's going to promote and talk about moving forward are going to seem like a big fight feel because he's able to present it in that fashion. So I was really impressed with how Ospreay delivered himself, and fun little exchange with him and Tony Schiavone. So
I thought Ospreay was fired up. That guy connected, and you couldn't wait to see what he does next. And guys, if you want to make sure that your lady can't wait to see what you do next and you want to put on a show, bruv, then you need to check out Blue Chew, because this episode is sponsored by our friends at Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The best part? It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Guys, we were electrified. When we saw Will Ospreay cut that promo last night, you felt that energy. You felt that excitement. And that's the same kind of energy and excitement you want to bring to the bedroom, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Made it three words there, innuendo, which also sounds like what'll happen if you pop a Blue Chew.
That is true.
And here's Joe A, who said, "I'm rock hard with emotion, bruv." Joe, you want to step it up? Use that promo code Rumor, $5 shipping. Get yourself some Blue Chew. We got to the Blue Chew ad a little later in the show today, because there's so much stuff to talk about. I checked out briefly the run sheet. And there's a lot of stuff we're literally going to have to bump to tomorrow, Dom. I'd say about two-thirds of what we got left, because we still haven't finished talking Dynamite.
No. I mean, we also had Jericho and Hook tagging up against the Gates of Agony and getting the win. And then afterwards, we had Hook and Jericho in a backstage segment with Renee Paquette. And Jericho said, "Hey, I like what I saw from you, working with you on the same side of the ring, but I want to work against you against one another." And then sure enough, they challenged next week in Toronto for AEW Dynamite. We got Hook versus Jericho. I know your thoughts about Jericho, but what do you think about them already teeing it off here on Dynamite next week?
No. How's that for thoughts? No, I don't. I get what this Lionheart shtick is. We're trying to make people remember a kinder, gentler time when you loved Chris Jericho. And you want to be excited to see him elevate his game with Hook. I want him as far away from Hook as possible. I don't think it's going to help Hook's presentation. I think Jericho believes that as a legend, giving the young guys the rub, that came out wrong. But when you're in there as a veteran and you're working with that younger talent, you think that, oh, wrestling me, beating me is really going to elevate you. It didn't really help Orange Cassidy all that much. It sure as hell didn't help Action Andretti. The guys that were part of Inner Circle have not been elevated. Santana's gone from the company. Jake Hager is kind of vanished off the face of the earth. Sammy Guevara, obviously suspended for his 35th time. the Jericho rub does not mean what it used to, and it's the kind of rub that doesn't involve an NDA.
You know, I like the Lionheart presentation and stuff like that, and you know, it was all out where he competed against Brian Danielson, and I thought that was a really, really great match. Stephen Chambers here says Jericho needs some time off. I kind of agree with that too. Just, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I know you're not fond of him, but
That's the misnomer. Jericho was one of my top 10 all time favorites. I think the first wrestling shirt I ever got was the Y2J shirt.
Wow, really?
Huge Jericho fan for many, many years. Usually when I'm in my office, I'm pointing where the books would be. I have Jericho's books that he's written. I think it's impossible to be a wrestling fan and not be a Jericho fan. He brought friends of mine who weren't even wrestling fans into wrestling because of his WCW promos.
Yeah.
Like, he's someone who can reach across the aisle and bring a casual fan and non-wrestling fan together. He was entertaining in the ring, entertaining on the promos. I think some of the problematic baggage that he has brought of late is part of the issue. I think the other part of the issue is he's getting to that point where he's not able to perform at the level of a Chris Jericho that we really want to see. And it's tough to watch because he wants to still be the Chris Jericho 15, 20 years ago. If he were to take time off, I think there's more of a concern on his end. Is he even going to be able to get back up to this level? So trying to work with young talent, trying to work with some of the best that there are, is trying to mask that. But then sometimes you get that Atlantis Jr. match a couple weeks ago, which will haunt me in my nightmares. I'll say my dreams, but those are nightmares. But that was dynamite, Dom. I feel like we covered just about everything that occurred on that broadcast. What else we got?
Yeah, let me see here. So we had Andrew Red mentioned that Ospreys can't miss, and it sounds like possibly that WWE might have missed a little bit on Ospreay, according to Dave Meltzer. I will say that Wrestling Observer Radio happened to say that he had two matches on this run, and he's getting this kind of a reaction. So yeah, I think that I know people in WWE. When this was going down.
Sorry. I like that even in the transcription, you have the weird Meltzer verbal tics.
Yes.
I don't know. WWE knew what they were going to do.
I mean, I know people. I know people in WWE when this was going down, and it was becoming very clear that he was going to AEW instead of WWE. They offered a lot less money, and I know people who were there saying that Triple H didn't realize he just thought he was one of the great workers. But this guy, Ospreay, has more as a far as complete package. There are very few people when it comes to complete total package. Lex Luger reference. There we go.
Very good. Well, let's not damn Ospreay with that, but it doesn't surprise me that the AEW offer was going to be higher. We talked about that on this show before we even knew where Ospreay was going to go, that AEW was in a position of desperation where they needed Will Ospreay. They had lost some talent. Obviously, losing Kenny Omega to injury, they lost CM Punk to WWE. Jungle Boy is now wearing a goat mask in Japan, which if you haven't seen that, kids, go out of your way to watch this. He should have just gone through the play class. That would have been less painful than this goat head. They also, you know, lost. They knew they were losing MJF. MJF was at the end of December, was taking time off. They needed a big star. They were willing to pay and in some regards, overpay. Ospreay, I disagree with Meltzer. Triple H, Paul Triple H Levesque, long-term remaining fans know what that means. Paul Triple H Levesque absolutely knew what a complete package Will Ospreay was. Like, this is not the Vince world. Hunter knows a guy who can cut a promo and look good in the ring and also wrestle. But the WWE roster right now is insanely stacked. So they're going to pay to get a Will Ospreay, but they don't need a Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. There's, if you look at the WrestleMania card right now, it'd be very tough to find where you would really plug Ospreay in. Maybe against Gunther, where he'd be going for the Intercontinental title, but then you're bumping Sami Zayn. There are talented people right now who do not have a spot in WrestleMania who are top tier talent. So it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, it would have been interesting to see where they're going to wind up. I think you look at where Kevin Owens is. It's going to be part of a triple threat match. We don't know who's going to wind up in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. There's guys sitting on the shelf right now, Braun Strowman, that we haven't seen do anything for in a while. They just called up Braun Breaker.
Yeah.
You have Carmelo Hayes, who's kind of towing the line between WWE and NXT. So you have all these guys. So while Ospreay would have been a great get for the WWE, they didn't need to pay and potentially overpay the way that Tony did for Okada, Ospreay, and Mercedes Moné. Would have loved to have seen them in WWE. However, you know, they're going to do great things for AEW, and AEW can now position to this notion of, well, we have the best roster there is.
Right. And like, to your point, you could certainly plug Ospreay into any of those matches at WrestleMania and try to and make it work and stuff. But you're bumping somebody that is also very talented, very notable in place of that. You would be doing that. Ospreay happened to speak on Talk is Jericho too this week, talking about not signing with WWE. And he said, yeah, of course, but it was night and day. He's talking about
You're not going to do the accent?
No, I'm not going to try it. I have to, if I'm doing the accent, I got to get myself in the mode.
Yeah, of course, bruv. Okay, that's all you got to do.
There you go.
You just got to be raspy and just use bruv every couple of words. Please don't.
Okay.
As much fun as it is, because people love reading comprehension with Dominic D'Angelo, where you read like long paragraphs. It's great. It's better if there's a little bit of a weird voice. But either way, let's keep going.
He said, yeah, of course, but it was night and day.
Nope.
I'm not doing it.
You can't do a British accent if you're not British. Same way you were doing like the over-Italian accent before.
What are you talking about? But it was night and day, even a difference when they were offering what AEW was offering. AEW was way better. The scheduling, everything about AEW was completely the right option for me. It was always you can go be a superstar in WWE and famous, but it's not as good of pay and it's not as kind of a schedule. I respect everyone there doing it, but it's not for me, he did say. In regards to that, Robert, I kind of think too, yes, you know, he's got paid big time with AEW. I almost think of a Tom Brady theory where it's like Tom Brady stayed with the Patriots, took pay cuts, but hell, he's become the best pro football player known to man. And when it regards to that, and he goes down in history, you know, big time Super Bowl wins. Same could maybe have been said for Ospreay if he goes to WWE, or he could, to another point, get lost in the shuffle. So it's interesting kind of perspective.
I think the schedule argument absolutely makes sense in some regards, because the WWE schedule, even though it's lighter than it used to be, is still grueling. You're doing house shows. Whether you're working Raw or SmackDown, you're still on the road probably 4 days a week, plus travel day. So say 5 days a week. It's a lot of time to be away from your home, away from your family. AEW offers a more relaxed schedule. I feel like they're going to be more flexible if Ospreay decides he wants to go work a big show somewhere. He's the kind of guy that wants to go and do that. And he can be a big star, make a lot of money in AEW. So you can't really begrudge him as much as I want to begrudge him, because damn it, I wanted to see him in WWE. And I feel like he would have been fun for 2K25.
Oh, no doubt about it.
That's my motivation factor. My motivating factor for half of it now. Now that I'm playing, I downloaded 2K24, which is a hell of a game. It's a lot of fun. But then you notice that people that aren't in there would be like, man, it'd be really fun if you could play as, you know, Sting, or if you could play as Ospreay or Okada, not Darby, because I don't want to watch my video game characters die.
Yeah, that's not, you don't want that.
Unless it's a mini game where you get to climb Everest as Darby.
Or you play, just play Grand Theft Auto if you want to do that, maybe. Robert, real quick, I'll talk about,
I just said like my name as if there's someone else that you're talking to.
I'll talk about The Rock on Jimmy Kimmel here.
We got real quick, and then we got a roll, man.
Then we got a roll, exactly. He mentioned being a heel. They played the crackhead Karen skit on there on Jimmy Kimmel. And then The Rock just ended up saying, it is the best to go back to WWE in this Rock 10.0 version, where I can become a heel and say things that people want to say. Robert, he's going to be in Memphis this Friday, along with Jerry Lawler, also noted to be there. But The heel Rock has just been a fun run so far. It's been very entertaining. He's been releasing promos before SmackDown every week too since then. So
I love it. I love seeing this heel version of The Rock. I think this is the best Rock has been in ages, because he really feels like he's important to the storyline. When he's come back before, it's kind of been like, hey, look, The Rock is here. He's a major movie star. Now it's, hey, The Rock is here. And he's pretty well entwined into the biggest storylines they've got going. We're going to talk more about The Rock tomorrow when we preview SmackDown. We're also going to talk about this Undertaker story that I want to get to. We'll save that for tomorrow's show. But Dom, if the good people want to hear the sweet sounds of Dominic D'Angelo elsewhere, where else can they catch you?
Yes, you can hear my sultry tones on One of a Kind with RVD every Monday at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at rvdtv.com or wherever you get your damn podcasts. But you can also hear me on Tuesday with Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We cover a lot of ground, the Remco figures this week. I'm recording a new episode today with them. Going to talk a little bit of Thunderbolt Patterson, going to talk a little bit of Muhammad Ali. We're going to cover some good ground there. Go to gagne@magnum.com to subscribe to that. Check me out on X at Dominic D'Angelo. And yeah, that got a lot cooking. I'll be there WrestleMania week, all in Philadelphia, all up in that business, that big business. So there we go. Robert, we got a guest coming up here tomorrow.
My Wrestle Roast co-host, the very talented comedian Dan St. Germain, is going to be on here. Oh, look at that. You put a graphic on. Yeah. It's covering my head. Oh, there I'm on the side.
There you are.
Hey, look at that. This is fun. If you're listening to this on audio, wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, or iTunes, you have no idea what's going on. But Dom, producer extraordinaire, threw up this graphic on the middle of the screen of Dan St. Germain. So I'm tilted to the side. It's like the Brady Bunch. This is so weird. Dan's going to be on tomorrow at noon. He has a new comedy special called Dance Fatty Dance from 800 Pound Gorilla. It is on YouTube, and it's absolutely free, and it is hilarious. And yes, Eagle Eye people, if you look, you will see me in the crowd. You will also see me in the crowd this Sunday, March 17th, as Boca Raton Championship Wrestling presents the March Madhouse event. You can go to BocaRatonWrestling.com. I'm excited. I haven't been to a live wrestling show in forever. This is put on by Matthew Mashler and his group. A hell of a lineup here in Boca Raton. So if you're anywhere in the Florida region, the South Florida region, come on out for this show. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's an all ages show, so that's going to be great. Unlike Dom and his sultry tones, but our sultry tones will be back here tomorrow at noon Eastern, wherever you watch or listen to us, whether that is at the WWCreative_ISHX account, the at Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heats X account, Podcast Heat, the fine folks who make this show possible, SE Scoops, their X account, great place to get your wrestling news, by the way, as well as the ad-free shows YouTube page. Take that, Jeff Jarrett. So on behalf of the giggly and sultry Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
We'll see you Friday, bruv.